See, that's the way it should always be. Always be like that. We're thankful to God for blessing us. Thankful for the songs that were sung today. Thankful for Russell for joining us over here on the east side of town. And just thankful for you for lifting up your voices and encouraging one another as we praise our God. And to those who are joining us online, you're missing something. You know, you're missing. I pray when that bumper finished that you said, woo, or did something of that nature. When you were online, kind of like a Ric Flair woo, and hopefully you did something like that. We are a church that is on mission. If you're a guest today, thank you for being here. I want you to know where you are. You're amongst a people who are on a mission for King Jesus. We want to give every person on planet Earth an opportunity to say yes to King Jesus. We're on a mission to make disciples here, near, and far. And speaking of our mission to reach folks overseas, we want to invite you to something, to learn more about what we are doing in the far reaches of the world for King Jesus. I want to invite you, as Russell has already stated, to our Global Missions Encounter. That's today here in the Fellowship Hall from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock. It's where you'll get a chance to learn what God is doing around the world. Learning about how you can join in on that mission. It'll be a time of prayer, a time of worship. We'll lift up our missionaries who are stationed all over the world in a time of prayer. But God is not just at work in the far reaches of the world. God is at work right here in Murfreesboro. I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago, or at least last week, that we are seeking to adopt an apartment complex not too far from here. We spent some time there over the summer knocking doors, talking to folks, praying for folks, prayer walking that area. And God has opened up, I do believe, an incredible opportunity, an incredible doorway. And we want to be able to bless the residents of that apartment complex with Thanksgiving box full of all the fixings, including a turkey or a ham. And we're gonna start building that box beginning today. Some of you actually have already started bringing stuff in, but if you didn't bring anything with you today, we need the items that are on that list. And you can bring it throughout the week and drop it off with us. And rest assured, it's going to someone who could benefit from that. But we're not just seeking to serve folks. We're seeking to serve with purpose. There's a lot of organizations around town that serve, and we honor them, and we join with many of them. But we want to serve with purpose, and our purpose is to show the love of Jesus so that a door can be open in someone's life and in someone's heart so that disciples might be made. That's why we serve. And so we're going to serve in this nature. But I want you to keep in mind on Saturday, beginning at about 10:30 to, let's say, noon, we want to accept donations of turkeys and hams. Just ask that you not bring them through the week unless you just can't help it. But we really want it on Saturday because we don't have a lot of space to store turkeys and hams. And someone asked me in the 8 o'clock service, hey, do you want cooked hams or turkeys? We don't want you to cook it. If you cook it, we might eat it. And so we want to make sure it gets to where it needs to go. So just pick it up in the freezer section or the refrigerated section there in the grocery store. Bring it with you. Drop it off to us. We'll pack it. And then we're going to go out and distribute this along with a Bible, along with an invitation to join a Discovery Bible study. And hey, let's just see what God is going to do through it. I believe God is going to do something powerful through it. And I do believe he's going to truly bless someone's life, not just physically, but spiritually. All right? So thank you for what you've brought already. But today we're continuing with our series called Audacious Identity, where we've been studying the great and wonderful book of Joshua. I pray that you have enjoyed this study up to this point in time. This study is about to end come next week. And then we'll be on to something else. We'll be on to a series really all about spiritual gifts. And I do believe you'll be blessed by it. So we're going to jump in. I want to invite you to Joshua chapter 23. I want to invite you to just jump over there to Joshua chapter 23. That's where we're going to be today. If you don't have a copy of God's Word, there may be one right in front of you in the seat back right in front of you. Grab one of those, and we're going to study this and see what the Lord has to say. The late basketball player Kobe Bryant is arguably one of the greatest basketball players to ever live. His resume says such. Kobe has won scoring titles. He won MVPs, 2 Olympic gold medals, 5 NBA championships. But Kobe's greatness didn't come about simply because he was a gifted basketball player or a talented athlete. His greatness was forged by his preparation. In his book, The Mamba Mentality, How I Play, Kobe describes how he prepared for each game and each season, not only physically, but mentally. He tells his readers that his skill didn't come, it just wasn't seen by what he did on the basketball court, but it was actually in the unseen areas of preparation as he went back and studied game film, not only of himself, but also of his opponents. His Mamba mentality, as he would call it, wasn't just about dominating the game on the court. It wasn't just about dominating the game that he was playing. It was about studying and going backward and looking at the games that had already been played. See, for Kobe, it was all about going in reverse and being comfortable going in reverse, looking backward. For him, it was the looking backward that actually propelled him to move forward. It was a human principle, a principle of human dynamics that you're actually going to see come up in the text today. And the principle is this: in order to move forward, you have to master looking backward. And not just in one's physical life, but in their spiritual life. See, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are called, we are compelled to move forward in our faith. But to really move forward in your faith, you've got to master the art of looking backward. But looking back at what God has done in your life, looking back at what God has done for you, looking backward at all of the things that He has brought you to and that He's brought you through. Once you really see those things and enjoy those things and then realize those things, all of the things that happened in your past, you are now propelled to move forward in your faith toward the future. You're going to see this in Joshua chapter number 23, and you're going to see it over and over and over again. And as I study the Word of God, when I see something repeated or I see a principle continue to be reflected in the pages of ancient Scripture, it's there so that we pay attention to those things. It's something that the Lord our God wants to communicate to us. And He understands that through repetition, we just might grab a hold of it. And we just might understand that He is trying to communicate a message to us. So this morning, let's let God communicate the message that He wants to communicate in Joshua chapter 23. And go with me in a time of prayer. But we're going to call this message, for those who might be taking notes, Forward Moving Faith. I want to show you how to move forward in your faith this morning, but it requires that you get comfortable looking backward to see what the Lord has done. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us this morning in Joshua chapter 23. Pray with me, please. Father, it is good for us to be here, to hear from your word. as unworthy as we are, to hear from you. Father, you love us such that you want to speak to us anyway. And we're thankful for your love. We're thankful for your mercy. Father, we're thankful for these things that renew in our lives every single day. Oh, Lord God, we're thankful for your word, which guides us, which instructs us, a word which convicts us, a word that continues to call us forward in obedience to you. Father, we're thankful that we get a chance to hear from you this morning. So here's what we ask. We ask you to speak. We ask you to speak with such volume that we hear it. We ask you to speak with such clarity that we understand it. We ask that you would speak with such authority that we obey it. So we surrender ourselves underneath your word right now, and we give ourselves over to your Holy Spirit. Let your Holy Spirit guide this study in your word, and might it bring you glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let us say amen. Joshua 23 is, if you've paid attention, is the second to last chapter in the book of Joshua. And we've been studying about this nation of ancient Israel and Joshua and how he has adopted an audacious identity and how they have adopted an audacious identity, a bold, a courageous identity, to go in and take the pagan nations that God had promised to them, the land of Canaan, driving out these pagan nations and occupying this wonderful land, a land that was filled with milk and honey. But although this serves as the penultimate chapter of this book, its placement in the book of Joshua might be a bit misleading and might give one the impression that everything is done, that the land has been secured, and now they can simply be at rest in the land. But as we will read, such is not the case. There was more work for the nation of ancient Israel to do. Even though they've occupied the land, they divided the land into tribal allotments, there were still other territories which needed to be occupied. And Joshua is going to tell this nation, you can occupy this land. And I know that you can occupy this land because you are currently sitting in the land. You can take what is ahead of you because God has already blessed you. And for you to realize what is ahead of you and the success that is ahead of you, you've got to learn to look backward at what God has already done. Once you really see that this God who has been on your side in the past, the same God who has fought for you in the past, if you look back and see it, you will realize that that same God is still alive. He's alive in your present, and he's alive in your future. And so once you look back and see that, you can develop a forward-moving faith. You are going to need the audacious identity that has been forged in the past to continue to find success in the future. What's helped them then is going to help them in what is ahead. In other words, he is going to tell them and show them, in order to move forward, you must master looking backward. You must master seeing what God has done for you in the past. With that being the context, let me bring you into this text in Joshua chapter 23. I want you to focus your attention on verses 1 and 2. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Put your eyes on the Bibles that are in your laps. A long time afterward, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their surrounding enemies, and Joshua was old, and well advanced in years. Joshua summoned all Israel, its elders and heads, its judges and officers, and said to them, I am now old and well advanced in years. The text opens in this way, a long time afterward. And this long time could be any span of time. It could be a long time since they began to divide the land, or it could simply be a long time since this whole journey began as they crossed the Jordan and took on the city of Jericho. Either way, a long time has taken place. A long time on the battlefield. A long time trusting in the promises of God. A long time moving nations out. A long time has taken place. And in this long time, undoubtedly, they've gone through ups and downs. A long time when they've gone through trials and hardships and learned many lessons along the way. A long time has taken place, but there is more still ahead. And they aren't to get tired, and they aren't to want to give up, and they're not even to get complacent. There is more that remains ahead. They must keep on moving. I often think that even as a church, we need someone to come stand in our corner and tell us, you know what, I know you've been doing this a long time. I know you've been following Jesus a long time. And you might even be tired. There are times you might even get discouraged. There are times that you might even feel like giving up. But I think we need someone to tell us. So let me be that person this morning, if you will allow me to. Let me be that person to tell you, even as a church, even as followers of Jesus, you got to keep on moving. Because there are great things. There's more things that are ahead. You might be a teen, you might be a college student, you might be someone who's enjoying their retirement years. You might be in your 70s or your 80s, maybe even your 90s, but you are still here, which means there is more ahead. So keep on moving. You might be feeling hardships and trials and troubles right now, but there is more ahead. Keep on moving. You know, we're doing the Global Missions Encounter this afternoon, and our missionaries, they experience ups and downs, but they need someone in their corner to say, you know what, we're encouraging you. Keep on moving. There is still more land to take for King Jesus. There's still more souls to be saved for King Jesus. Keep on moving. But you know what's going to help us move? You know what's going to help you move past whatever you're dealing with right now? Here's what's going to help you move. Once you learn to master the art of looking backward, looking behind you to see what God has already done. Because what God has already done is a clue to what He will do. Certainly, it's a testament to what He can do. So we have to move forward, but we got to learn the art and master the art of looking behind us. And this is where Joshua is going to lead Israel to. Would you see verse number 3? He says, "And you have seen." In your past, you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. For it is the Lord your God who has fought for you. He takes the nation and he puts them in reverse. It's kind of counterintuitive. We're all about moving forward. We're all about pushing through. We're all about moving ahead. But what Joshua does is he says, instead of pushing forward and moving ahead, there's time for that. We're going to get to that. But I want to make sure we get to that and our momentum is sustained. So in order to move you forward, I'm going to take you in reverse. I want you to consider what the Lord has already done for you. And when he did that, it would cause them to see that God, you know what, the God that we have been following for a long time, he's a promise-keeping God. When they would look backward, they would have to realize, you know, the God that we have been following for a long time, he's a powerful God. Once they look backward, they would have to see, you know what, the God that we have been following for a long time is a delivering God. You know what, when we look backward, we would see the God we've been following for a long time is a God who has been fighting for us. When they would look backward, they would see, you know what, the God that we've been following for a long time, he's the God who made the sun stand still. When they would look backward, they would see, you know what, the God we've been following for a long time, he is the God who allowed us to cross the Jordan on dry ground. This God we have been following for a long time has constantly been showing up for us. And the text says he's done it for their benefit. Almost as if I'm just going to be good. God would say, I'm just going to be good and there's nothing you can do about it. I'm just going to love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. I'm just going to be God, and the only thing that you can do to push me away is if you say, I don't want you as God, but if you say, you want me as your God, I am going to continue to show up and fight for you. But the only way they would see it is if they look behind them. The only way they would see it is that they mastered looking backward. And so what I want for you, it's not what I want from you. This is what I want for you. All of you. All of you. What I want for you is for you to move forward in faith. So there's something in your future that you're going to have to move forward to, and it's going to require faith. So there's quite likely some decision that you're going to have to make in the very near future. I don't know what it is. You might not even know what it is, or you might know what it is. There's a decision you're going to have to make in the very near future, and you know what it's going to require. It's going to require your faith. There's a choice you're going to have to make. I don't know what it is. In the very near future, and you know what it's going to require? It's going to require your faith. There's a challenge or a trial in your future, because that's just the way life goes. I don't know what it is, but you know what it's going to take for you to overcome that challenge or that trial? It's going to take your faith. And you're going to want to move toward that with forward-moving faith. You're going to want to be like David when David ran toward his giant. I know that's what you want for yourself. Forward-moving faith. But here's what it's going to require. It's going to require you to look back to see all the ways that God has blessed you and provided for you. So let's start that process right now, shall we? And we start it by asking ourselves a question. Before the moment even gets here, or even if you are in a moment, you want to get through this, you want to break through that wall, here's how you do it. You start by asking a question. It's really the implied question that Joshua is asking Israel. And the question is this: what have you seen the Lord do for you? So I want you to engage in this exercise. I want you to think about what have you seen the Lord do for you. And so let's break it down, and then we're going to take this road together. What have you seen the Lord do for you over the course of the past 7 days? If something comes up, write it down. If you have to close your eyes to imagine it, do that. It's going to bless you. What have you seen the Lord do for you over the past 7 days? What has He led you to? What has He led you through? What is He doing even in your life right now on this seventh day? What is He doing? Is He doing something for you? As you go back over the past week, this being the last day, I know it's the first day of the week on the calendar, but this is the last day that I'm talking about. What has He done for you? Okay, so once you get a thought of that, let's go back a bit further. Let's look back further. What has the Lord done for you, or what have you seen Him do for you over the course of your life? Like in Israel, and the things for your own benefit, what have you seen Him do in your life? The blessings that only had your name on them. Okay, what have you seen Him do for your benefit? In what ways have you seen Him show up and deliver you and provide for you and bless you? What have you seen the Lord do to bring you to this point in your life? To bring you to that seat that you are in right now, that you occupy. What have you seen Him do to bring you to this? What have you seen Him do to bring you through school? Bring you through college? What have you seen Him do to bring you to that job that you're in? To bring you to that spouse that you have? What did He have to do that? He did it. What did He have to do to bring you to your grandchildren? What did He have to do, and how did He have to orchestrate to bring you to the job that you have? What did He have to orchestrate to bring you to this point in retirement that you might be enjoying? What did He have to do? And let me remind you, He did it. Because that's why you occupy that spot. That's why you have that spouse. That's why you have those kids. That's why you enjoy your grandchildren. That's why you enjoy retirement. That's why you'll have a job to go to tomorrow, because God did it. I want you to see all of those things, because the same God, listen to me, church, the same God who brought you to all of that, that same God is still alive. He was with you in the past. He's with you right now in the present. And so why would He give up on you in the future? When you realize that, you can develop the faith to move forward with whatever the future might hold. You got to master the art of looking backward so you can move forward. I can proudly proclaim great things are ahead. And I know that because a great God is ahead. But to see those great things ahead, you've got to see all the great things that were behind. God's shown up in great ways for you. You know He has. Because He's a great God. Forward moving faith. Sometimes, even a person who preaches the Word of God, I can get discouraged, just like you get discouraged. I might feel like giving up, just like you feel like giving up. But there has been a psalm that I have referred to that has blessed me, and I want to share it with you. It's no secret. It's in your Bible, and you can find it whenever you need to find it. Psalm 103. And the psalm says this: "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits." I can praise the Lord with everything that is within me, now and in the future. If I do something, something that the psalm is calling me to do, if I don't forget his benefits, all of the good things that God has given, it'll bring me always to a point of praise, blessing him, if you will, worship of him, if I don't forget his benefits. I don't want you to forget his benefits. We're in Thanksgiving season right now, a season where you're called to remember his benefits, but his benefits, they last longer than a Thursday in November. His benefits are always around you. Don't forget them. Benefits like what? Benefits like this: who forgives all your iniquity. He forgives us of our sins. He forgives us of that which separates us from him. He's willing to do that. Church, I got people who live on this earth who haven't forgiven me of one thing I've done, but he's forgiven me of everything I've done. Praise God Almighty. What else does he do? He heals all your diseases. Anybody ever been sick before in here or online? I think the answer is yes. But I'm looking at you right now. I don't know what's going on underneath, but you don't look sick. You don't look sick anymore because he brought you out of that. He heals diseases. He heals sicknesses. And I've prayed for people to get better. And I've seen healing in their life, not because of me, but because of him. But I've also prayed for some people and they weren't healed. But they weren't healed on this time side of life. They were healed over in glory. They were healed then. And I can rejoice over that. These are still God's benefits. He does something else. He redeems your life from the pit. I know some of you have been in a pit before. Not physically, but spiritually. Where you were in a pit, it looked dark, it looked bleak. You've been praying, God's not moving. You wanted this, it's not happening. I've prayed for peace, or I've prayed for comfort, or I've prayed for a job, and it's not coming, and I find myself in a pit ready to give up. But if you look back over your life, you'll probably see that you've been in a pit before. You've been there before. Might have looked different, might have felt different, but a pit is a pit. And you were in that pit, and he lifted you up out of that pit. You look back on that, it'll help you get through the next pit, because he's a God who lifts. He lifts the needy. And when we're in a pit, we are needy. He crowns us with steadfast love and mercy. His mercy never ends. It renews always, every single morning. He satisfies us with good. Our youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for those who are oppressed. He never takes his eyes off of you. Don't forget his benefits. He's merciful. He's gracious, slow to anger, abounds in steadfast love. Don't forget the benefits. They will help you move forward. Because again, in order to move forward, you gotta master looking backward to see what he's done. But once you got that, you can start putting your foot on the gas and moving forward. Let me show you verse number 4. Behold, I have allotted to you as an inheritance for your tribes those nations that remain, along with all the nations that I've already cut off, from the Jordan to the great sea in the west. The Lord your God will push them back before you and drive them out of your sight, and you shall possess their land, just as the Lord God promised you. There's great things ahead. You've looked backward. You see that God is right there. It's going to affect your future, because what you've seen God do in the past, it shapes your faith in the future. He arrests their mind, and he's like, There's more to do. You've seen what he can do, but there is more to do. But now you've got to put your foot on the gas and you must go. You can get in a car and you can have all the experience of driving a car. I've driven many cars. And I can get in the car that I'm in this morning and I can have faith that this car will take me exactly where I need to go. I can have faith in that. I can start the car. I can put the car into drive. But unless I put my foot on the pedal and hit the accelerator, I'm not really going anywhere. I can have the intent. I can have the faith. I can have the belief. But I still have to hit the gas, and I still have to go. See, we hit the gas in our lives. We got the faith, we look back, but I hit the gas in our life when we simply do what God says do. That's how you hit the gas in your life. And Joshua wants Israel to hit the gas. And they're going to hit the gas by doing what the Lord has called them to do. So he says in verse 6, therefore, be very strong, be audacious to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, turning aside from it neither to the right hand nor to the left. I want you to stay in your lane, and I want you to stay focused on the point that is ahead. But hit the gas, do what the Lord says do. Don't swerve to the right or to the left. Stay in your lane. My father was a church planner. He was a gospel preacher. He was an evangelist. He was also a business owner. But he spent most of his day as a tractor-trailer driver for UPS, taking packages. He was what was called a feeder driver. Some of you probably know what that is. Taking packages from where we lived in Illinois to downtown, near downtown Chicago, each and every day. And so as an experienced driver, when we learned to drive, he would often teach us some tricks and some tools of the trade in order to keep us safe, in order that we might, when we leave, we would come home so that other drivers out on the highway, particularly the interstate, would always see us. And so here's what he told us, because we had the tendency, me and my siblings, we had the tendency to hug one part of the road. So we would either hug the right side or we would hug the left side of the road. And so we would end up often driving kind of like this, you know, as we learn. Well, that irritated him because he wanted us to stay in our lane. He wanted us to remain straight in the lane. So he said, here's what you do. If you're going to remain straight in this lane, if you're not going to veer to the right or to the left, keep your head up, okay? We don't have any place to put our head down. Keep your head up. There's a life lesson in that, all right? Keep your head up. But keep your head up and you fix your eyes on a point down the road. Just keep your eyes on that point that's down the road. And once you get to that point, you find another point down the road. Because once you keep your eyes focused, it'll keep you centered in that lane. You won't veer to the right, you won't veer to the left. You will stay always in your lane. See, spiritually, there's a life lesson in that as well. See, when we keep our heads up, we don't let the world distract us. We don't let what we're going through get us down. We keep our head up because of what we've seen in our past. But then we fix our eyes on a point that's in the future. We fix our eyes on a point that is ahead. And what Joshua wants us to do is to fix our eyes on the Word of God. When you fix your eyes on simply doing what God said do, you won't veer to the right nor to the left. What you end up doing is you'll stay in your lane. You can hit the gas, move forward, but stay in your lane as you do. Because there's something that he didn't want them to do. He didn't want them to mix with the other nations because he knew that the other nations would pull them to the right and to the left, that they would end up compromising their holiness. They would compromise their spiritual integrity. And he didn't want them to do that. He wanted them to remain centered in their lane. Verse 7, 8, and 9, that you may not mix with these nations remaining among you, or make mention of the names of their gods, or swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them, but you shall cling to the Lord your God, just as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out before you great and strong nations. Look backward again. And as for you, no man has been able to stand before you to this day. I want you to see this word, the word he says, cling, cling to the Lord. It is a word that we have seen before in Scripture, or an expression that we've seen before in Scripture. And we saw it in Genesis 2 and 24, when speaking about Adam and Eve, and speaking perpetually about all marriages. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast or cling to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. In order to become one flesh, this man has to cling. He has to cleave to his wife. But not only that, he has to separate himself from where his allegiances once were. I want you to leave your prior allegiances and make this allegiance with your wife so that you guys can become one flesh. I want you to cling to her. Something that I tell married couples, in order to cleave, you have to leave. In order to cleave unto God, you got to leave past alliances. You got to leave the way you used to do things. You got to leave your old life and cling unto the God who loves you so much. Because if you don't, here's what you'll find. It's going to slow you down. Disobedience always works like that. It always works to slow down the people of God. And it would for Israel. Let me drop down to verse 13. Know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you, but they shall be a snare and a trap for you, a whip on your sides, thorn in your eyes, until you perish off from this good ground that the Lord your God had given you. And he tells them that in response to them not doing what God said do. Disobedience would slow them down. It would work against them. But here's how all of this ends. Joshua's taken them back to propel them forward. But he says to them, finally in verse 14, and now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. I'm about to die. And you know in your hearts and souls, all of you, that not one word has failed of all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you. All have come to pass. Not one of them have failed. If you look back over the course of your life, you've seen that God has showed up. You have seen that his promises, they have not failed. And so what we must do is we must learn to keep on moving forward in our faith, even when things get hard, because God has shown us a marvelous thing. And the marvelous thing, the most marvelous thing, is not him providing food on your table. That's great. It's not him giving you clothes on your back. That's wonderful. It's not him giving you a job. All those things are great. It's not just simply him healing you of a disease. All of that's great. The best thing that God did for you is send Jesus for you. And when you look back over your life and if Jesus has been written into your story, if the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus and the blood of Jesus has been written into your story, oh my goodness, you can move forward no matter what happens. As long as you look back and you can see there was a moment your life intersected with the cross of Christ, here's what we would have the ability to say and proclaim. Jesus said in John 16, 33, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And so if you look back and see that you are in him, here's what it means for you. It means you are an overcomer. It means you shall overcome. You can move forward. You just have to have the faith to move forward. move forward. I believe we can. Forward moving faith. If you're ever uncertain in life, just look back at the cross. If it's there, that's your answer. Moving forward this week might mean a lot of things for you. It might mean that you're going to make the decision that you've been putting off, trusting that the Lord is with you. Moving forward with this week might mean you stepping away from the things or the sin that has been hindering you, trusting that the Lord is with you. And moving forward this week might mean you finally saying yes to King Jesus, knowing the Lord will be with you. There's one thing I want you to remember. It's this. In order to move forward, you got to master looking backward. Let me call you to obey this. Look backward at the blessings that God has already placed in your life. And then a way to apply it, walk in faith, being shaped by what God has done in your past. I want you to think about these things. Let's stand. Let's sing.